Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Get busy, baby. Let's do this.
It's going down.
Trey Lance to the speedster, Danny Gray.
So what was Lance's reaction to being told?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Kyle said, John, I don't think there's much of a conversation. It was real short. He said, cool. I think that's great.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Bucks running back Leonard Fournette. Still to come. Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp. Six-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Gerald McCoy. Plus, actor and comedian Kevin Hart. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Already had Lombardi Lenny, the great Leonard Fournette, on this program. He's the one who scored the touchdown in the divisional playoff game against the Los Angeles Rams to tie the game in a major monster comeback and put that game in deep trouble for the Los Angeles Rams until the man who's on our phone line right now on hold caught one up top, and that turned out to be Tom Brady's last game until it wasn't. And then we all know the Rams went on to win the Super Bowl. And what an incredible season for Cooper Kupp. Just unbelievable. And he is about to join our program. Gerald McCoy will be on in hour number two as well in about 20 minutes' time to talk about everything going on in the National Football League. Kevin Hart's going to join us in hour number three. Anything that you miss will be sitting on our YouTube page once the day is done. And we're live streaming on YouTube. We will be coming to Roku later this month. All Roku devices have the Roku channel for free. So does Amazon Fire TV, free. Samsung Smart TVs, free. You download the mobile app on any mobile device, and the Roku app has the Roku channel for free. And then you go, if you want to watch on desktop, to therokuchannel.com. Guess what's free
there? Oh, I know.
Say it, TJ. Say
free?
It. Yes.
Free 99?
The Roku channel is free.
Roku
right
channel
there.
Free,
so
people.
That's very important
free.
For us. It's all free and clear. So let's get to it. Joining us right now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is a guy who had one of the greatest seasons receiving on any level of football possible. Most yards, most receptions, most touchdown receptions. And then he won the Super Bowl MVP, for crying out loud. Not bad for a kid from Yakima, Washington, who was once upon a time the unanimous first team All-Columbia Basin Big Nine League wide receiver. He's now a Los Angeles Ram. He's Cooper Kupp on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How you doing, Cooper?
I'm great. Thanks for pulling out the high school stats for me. That's great.
How about that one? What is a unanimous first team All-Columbia Basin Big Nine League player? What is? Can you walk me through that, sir?
We had southeastern corner of Washington kind of has its own league. You get kind of spread out, so you got like 2 hours. You drive 2 hours on Friday to go play your game. So that's the Columbia Basin Big Nine. We got nine teams spread out all over there, and been some good guys come out of there.
If I had told that kid coming off of that field that day for the Columbia Basin Big Nine League that he would be a Super Bowl MVP wide receiver one day, what would that kid have said, Cooper Kupp?
You know, I'd like to think that kid would say, well, you know, that's what I'm working for. You know, I think that's what I'd hope that, you know, that's the attitude I took every single day, the amount of time I spent preparing myself and pushing myself to be able to go and compete in this league. It all started with a dream back then that, you know, in my mind, it was more than a dream, but more of just a destiny that you were working towards.
How much is that person still in you, Cooper? What do you think?
I think it's still there. I mean, I was literally talking to my wife this morning at breakfast saying I still feel like the young guy coming in, you know, the first time you come into the league and looking up to so many great football players and going out and feeling like you got to go prove it over again, go prove that you belong in this league. And, you know, that mindset's never changed. It didn't change in college. It didn't change in high school. It's just kind of been, I think it's just an intrinsic part of who I am.
What did your wife say in response to that? Keen to know.
She said she completely agrees. She just says, I think that's just you. That's just who you are and how I operate. And, I think she knows that more than anyone.
And take out the garbage. And then she said that, right? And then that's what she said.
Yeah.
That's right, man. So, okay, now you're getting set for a new season. Before we get to that, I've been dying to ask you this question because Stafford came in when the schedule was released in the, way back in the spring. And I asked him about that play call in the Super Bowl, fourth and short, and man, the play call comes in, and it's you, Cooper Kupp, taking it on a handoff. And what was that like in the huddle? And he told me a story about how that play was born and installed, and I would love to hear that from you, if you don't mind, Cooper Kupp. Please.
Yeah, so I guess going back through that, you get 2 weeks to prepare for that thing. You know, it's something that went in early that week about just kind of a short yardage, being able to get a little jet sweep around the edge. We practiced it the first time. I think the first two times we practiced it, I think we went fumbled the snap, and then we botched the handoff the next time. And so we start off 0-for-2 on that play. And it was actually about to get pulled. The play was about to get pulled. And Matthew and I were kind of discussing how we wanted to do that, the timing of how we wanted to time out the snap point and all this stuff, and how we were going to communicate to each other, pre-snap on how we were going to time it up. And we felt like we had a good plan for it. And, we went and talked to Sean and just said, hey, we want to keep this play. And I know we haven't run it full speed. We're not going to get an opportunity to run it full speed, but we'd like to do it this way. Sean trusted us to be able to, that we were going to have communicated this thing, come up with a plan that we'd be able to go out there and execute it. So then the first time we actually ran that thing full speed and executed it the right way was right there in the Super Bowl on 4th and 1.
That is unbelievable, Cooper. That is nuts. That is totally crazy that the way you were practicing it almost caused the play to be pulled. You and the quarterback get together and convince the coach, keep it. And what in the world were you thinking when you heard that play call in that instance, Cooper Kupp?
As we break the huddle, we had like one key thing that we wanted to do that was going to be our, big communication to each other on how that was going to time up. And so both of us just looked at each other and just said it, this is the, remember this, boom. Like, we know where our key is. And then, once we had that and we were both locked in on what that was, we would go out there and execute it.
But what stones for McVay to call it, right? I mean,
I know.
Come on.
I know. But that's the thing. It was his child. It was his thing that it was his play to begin with. So he knew it was right if we could execute it the right way. The big thing was just, Matthew and I getting on the same page to be able to do it exactly how he envisioned it.
Have you and Stafford had a moment post, and then ensuing days, weeks, months, or whatever, to look at each other and say, wow, I can't believe that was the play that was called at that time? Because I imagine in the heat of the moment, you didn't even share a look. Like, you're like, okay, let's do it the way that we're going to do it and go and pull it off. But I'm wondering if post-game you ever looked at each other, can't believe that's the play that started it all,
Yeah, there's been a couple times, over the off season where, that just our little keyword, code word would come up and we just get a little chuckle out of it. It's good. A little inside joke for us.
Unbelievable. Cooper Kupp, Super Bowl MVP, champion, offensive player of the year, Pro Bowler, all pro, the all world, the whole shooting match right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The encore this year, sir, I mean, how do you pull it off? Walk me through your mindset entering this season, getting ready for the Bills on opening night.
Yeah.
Cooper.
Well, you have to treat it the same as any other season, and that, you take a little bit of time to reflect on what that season was, see the things that you can do better, things that you did well, and then go out there and make the improvements that you need to. And I think we've done a good job of that this off season. The focus just shifts to, looking forward to what's to come. This this league is so competitive. There's so many good football players, so many good teams and coaches that there's no time, good, bad, or ugly. You can't linger in the past. There's no time for it. You got to be able to move forward. And, that's the mindset we've taken. It's regardless, it's not about going out and defending anything. It's about going and pursuing a world championship. Plain and simple. It's about, this year and what it's going to take to be able to stack the bricks, stack the blocks together day after day to be able to go out there and achieve something great. So, that's been our mindset, and, excited that we're, a week away of being able to go make that happen.
Well, I mean, how does somebody who has etched his name, and that's what we say when there's records in the NFL or in sports world, you've etched your name, Cooper Kupp, next to Jerry Rice, Calvin Johnson, I mean, with a triple crown season. How are you better? Like, what did you do to improve? What'd you work on, Cooper?
Yeah, well, I think, the name of the game, I mean, it's real simple. The name of the game is being bigger, stronger, faster than you were the year before. And then all the stuff that you can do cognitively to be able to slow the game down. I feel like that's a big thing that I've felt over this last few months, is being able to get to this place where the game is continuing to slow down and you're able to play with a quieted mind and go out there. And there's little things, little details here and there that within our offense that you want to improve on, angles off the line, the way you're reading, understanding where guys fit on the second level, and then the run game, being able to take angles off the line of scrimmage, go cut off guys appropriately, get a feel for how guys are going to play certain motions and runs based on actions from the front, and all that little stuff that's just the nuanced detail of this game that as you play it longer and longer, you just get a better feel for. All that stuff is just going to be improvement there. And then it's just, at the end of the day, just being a better football player than you were the year before. If you can get to that place and understand that it's not about the production, it's not about what the paper says, but at the end of the day, it's what the film says. And I want to look at film and say I'm a better football player than I was in 2021.
How does Allen Robinson fit into this whole equation? How's he looking, Cooper?
He looks really good. He's been huge for us. This offseason has been incredible to see him work and find his niche and find how he's going to fit into things, and his ability to run all the routes, he'll do all the things that we want to do in this offense, all things that coach wants to be able to ask receivers to do. He's able to step in. He's not only willing, but he is able. I'm really excited for him. And his mentality has been great. He's been great just as a sounding board for me, even to run ideas by and be able to talk football with. It's been a lot of fun.
And then there's a lot of other additions in the NFL that have happened in that crazy month of March. One that doesn't get talked as much, although it certainly does in Seattle because it gutted them, and I think his acquisition by your team and Les Snead and the whole crew, so huge. Bobby Wagner, what has he brought to you and the team, and just having him around and being Bobby Wagner, Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, what he brings just as a leader, as a person, as a voice on that side of the ball, talking about a Hall of Famer at the second level in the middle of your defense running the show, you can't put it's hard to put into words how important that is. It's hard to understand just how important that is. Just outside of the football, outside of the numbers, what he brings as a leader is a really special thing. And as an offensive player, being able to talk to him and see what the defensively how they're seeing things and how they're attacking things and how I can counter that. And just as someone that just loves football, he's invaluable. I'm so excited to have him. I know that all the guys on that side of the ball are too.
And then your guy Stafford, he won't talk about it. Maybe you will. The fact that there were so many doubts about him and his Detroit career, and then he wins it in his first year in Los Angeles. What do you got to say about that, Cooper?
Yeah, man. There was just there's times you get to the playoffs last year, and there's a lot of guys that you play for the guys around you. At the end of the day, you play for these guys that you have so much respect for. We had Matthew. There was Weddle. Whitworth. Mm. Guys have been in this league for a long time, doing some really good things. And guys, you just want to go out there and you want to be able to play your best and see those guys succeed and get what, you give to this game, you play this game the right way. There's just, I believe that those guys deserved to be able to, walk off that field last year as champions. And you'd love to be able to see that. So for Matthew, it was, being able to get his first playoff win, then also be able to progress through that and make the plays that he did and play as well as he did, through the playoffs, and just some huge big-time throws, big-time drives, and then be able to walk off the field as a champion. I was just so excited for him because he does it the right way as a man, as a teammate, he does it right. And so I was just real excited to see guys like that succeed.
Well, man, I'm looking forward to seeing how you can follow it up, and I'm looking forward to seeing if you can follow it up with a championship, not just for, you know, so many of the Rams fans I know around here in Los Angeles, but just to see if they can actually make a ring bigger than the one that you got. I just that I'm very curious about that, Cooper. I mean, that can't be possible, you know.
Yeah, we'll see if we can see if we can make that a reality.
Okay, you have kids, right? Don't you have kids, Cooper?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
How old are they?
4 and 1.
Okay, have you put the 1-year-old inside the ring to sleep? Is it large enough? Is it?
Not yet. We haven't tried. You know, our one-year-old's the size of a 3-year-old, so I don't know if it's gonna.
Oh, wow. Okay, very good. Big leaguers to come. Very good. Hey, Cooper, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Look for more of my calls during the season. Good luck to you, and I appreciate the time now.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Rich.
You got it. The great Cooper Kupp right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Two things to talk about here now that we've just hung up from Cooper Kupp. First thing.
One.
Nobody is talking about how Bobby Wagner can impact this defense. We're lost amongst the offense of the Rams. If you're just even focused on the Rams. Once again, West Coast teams just are like, okay, good to know. In our business. This is a defending Super Bowl champs. Who got better.
Better.
Okay? I know they lost their left tackle in Whitworth. But overall, I think this team improved in the same way that I don't think Dallas did by maneuvers that occurred in the offseason. I'm just using that as an example of a team that made the playoffs, okay? We're talking about Aaron Donald swinging helmets, okay? Like he's Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards waiting for everybody to come at him, right?
That is perfect. Right. Somebody Photoshop that quick for
another
us.
Legendary actually, the reason why I brought it up is I saw that
Photoshop.
Oh, you Photoshop.
Did? Oh, someone did it already?
Look it up.
Okay.
It's there. Okay. It's wild.
Another legendary dust-up.
Okay.
That is awesome.
And Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, you even said he's the best player in football, correct?
I think that he is.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he is.
Jalen Ramsey, best corner in football?
Ooh.
He's on the short list.
Okay.
Very short list.
Bobby Wagner's been placed in between them.
Yeah. Bobby Wagner's going to have a bust, right?
I think he will and deserves it for sure. I think so.
We know, Aaron Donald's getting a bust.
Buzzwell's already working on it.
Nobody is talking about the fact that one of the best linebackers of the last 10 years has wound up in Los Angeles for the defending Super Bowl champs in between Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Nobody is talking about what that impact could be. Nobody.
Major.
I did not one but two fantasy leagues last night, one for my poker league, one for Cooper right after.
Nice.
My Cooper.
Well done.
Okay.
Not Cooper.
I spent 3 hours. All right. Well, actually, that's not true. The poker league was done in 46 minutes.
No wonder you hate his draft.
Of course. So, but the Rams defense was so low, ranked so low in fantasy. I don't get it. Maybe it's because they're taking on the Bills in game one and
tough schedule.
All I'm saying is nobody's talking about that. That's number one. And then number two, please remind me. I don't think I'll need one. I've made a note already. When Sean McVay comes back on, the story Cooper Kupp just told again that I heard from Matthew Stafford prior to going on the air when Stafford came on for our schedule release show and was the first guest. We're just sitting there just shooting the, you know what, for the first 10 minutes before the air.
Shooting the pitch.
I told him, I'm like, hey, man, that play that Cooper Kupp and you ran the handoff to fourth and short on your own, let me get this right, was their own 30-yard line in the Super Bowl. 4th and 1 from their own 30. This is it. Game over. Gotta have it. Must have it. And they call a running play to Cooper Kupp. I'm like, what an incredible call. He goes, you don't even know the half of it. And he told me the story back in May that the two of them were practicing it and it was such a screwed up play because of the way that they were executing it that McVay's like, that's it. And they're like, no, let's keep it in there. And then the next time they ran it, they didn't even practice it again. The next time they ran it was at that moment.
That's bold, right there. Wild.
And McVay's like, okay, let's run the play that got screwed up in practice so much that I wanted to pull it. And these guys fought for it and said that they were going to run it. properly the next time I call it. Let's do it when the entire football lives of our lives, moment of our lives is on the line. Man!
Just a few people watching.
What a story. Just another reason why. Maybe you're sleeping on the Rams. Maybe you're going to win it again. You can get back there again. Go on a run again.
I think the only thing, Rich, is maybe some people realize it is just so hard
of course
to go
is.
Back to back. It's so hard to get
back. The last
back
time there. It happened, my first 2 years of NFL Network, and I'm entering my 20th season covering football there. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with the great Gerald McCoy, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, three-time All-Pro defensive tackle, next on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Can't say the next line.
Definitely can't. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Great chat with Cooper Kupp. Now we turn to one of our favorites. It's been a while since we spoke to this man. He is a three-time All-Pro at his position when back in his day. He is the great Gerald McCoy here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Gerald?
I'm great. Rich, what's up, man?
It's been too long. I saw you at the...
I know, man. It's been a while. You know, sometimes it be a while before you be around some of your family members, but when y'all link back up, it's always a great time.
I feel the same way.
Those moments.
Yeah, I saw you at the, that media symposium, right? For the... The players getting together, some players trying to figure out if they want to. So are you part of the paparazzi? You want to be part of the paparazzi now? Is that what you want to do?
No, I don't. I'm just
you don't?
Keeping all pictures open. You know, just planning for the future. Planning for the future, see what happens.
Okay. So okay. So that said, do you mind if I ask you questions, some paparazzi type questions of you?
Sure. Joe?
Okay, Joe McCoy. Sure. What do you think's happening in the 49ers locker room right now? Gerald McCoy, with the decision to bring back Jimmy Garoppolo and put him into the same quarterback room as Trey Lance. What do you think, Gerald?
I think if you're a professional, it's going to all depend on – really what's going on in the locker room is going to depend on the leadership. Is the leadership going – if they have a problem with it, are they going to make it a problem? Are they going – well, we don't know if Trey is the guy or – make it a thing like, well, we've been wanting Trey to be the guy, so we glad Jimmy G is – it depends on the leadership of the locker room. As long as the leadership of the locker room is good, it won't be a problem because they're going to understand, hey, a decision was made. Either one of them is a great decision for us. But now, if Trey doesn't go as planned or something happens, we already know what Jimmy can be. So, I mean, you keep a familiar face around. Somebody you know has helped you win, has helped you get as far as the Super Bowl in recent years. So it's just all going to depend on the leadership. But I feel like they got a great group of guys, and I think everything's going to work out for them. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I mean, we had the general manager, John Lynch, on yesterday. Gerald, you know him. And he said that part of the process of making this happen involved bringing in a 15-member leadership council that they have and bounce that idea off them and let them know this is what they were going to do. And that they were all on board. That said, what does a leadership council do or leaders in the locker room do if, let's just say, they start 1-3 and they hear somebody sitting there after practice grousing, like, why are we not going with Jimmy G? What happens there, Gerald?
Well, I've been a part of those. I've been a part of those leadership councils. And really all you can do is keep the noise down and tell people, don't be a part of the problem. Hey, if we started 1-3, then it's obviously not one person. It's all of us. This is a team game. So if you got a complaint, let's look in the mirror first. That's really where you start. You tell whoever's complaining, hey, let's check ourselves first. I'm sure you didn't play as great as you. If we started 1-3, I'm sure there's a majority of us not playing as great as we should. A team that starts 1-3 is usually not just one person. So you just got to keep the noise down when you have a leadership council. Like, pull them to the side like, hey, man, listen. You don't know who's watching. You don't know who's easily influenceable. So if you got a problem, man, pull one of us leaders to the side and voice your opinion. We could take it back to the group and we could discuss it that way. But you just sitting here complaining in front of everybody, that's no good for none of us.
Well, you know Sapp too, Gerald, from back in the day. Sapp always told me, don't mess with my family, my kicker, or my quarterback. That's what he said.
Right.
All the time. Yeah. He would always go up to anybody in the locker room that heard mess with his family, his kicker, his quarterback. So you've done that? You've gone up to somebody as a member of a leadership council and pulled them aside and say, knock it off? That's happened in
your career? Yeah, absolutely. But it's just go about it. That's the great thing about when you have great teams. That's why I say being a great teammate is not always just being a great player on the field. I have a lot of teammates that I consider great teammates that were guys that may not have been the most dominant on the field, but great locker room guys, guys that brought energy, guys that you never had to worry about whether they was going to be on time to work. Then when they come to practice, they do things the right way. On game day, the few reps they get, they're going to do their part. But they're just great teammates. They bring great energy, always positive. You just got to know who you're talking to and how to approach it. So being a great teammate, being a great leader, that's what it's about. You got to know who you're going to talk to, how to approach them, and how to address them. Some people you got to be firm with. Some people you like, hey, he's a vet. So he pulls aside like, hey, bro, man, you know how this goes. Like, hey, just stay the course. Let's keep playing. Let's get these guys together and let's see what happens.
So
you
in
know, you got to just know who you're addressing and how to address it.
So in general, you believe this is a workable arrangement?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe it can happen. Like, I feel like Jimmy G's been in this situation before. I know he's been the starter over the past few years, and he could be thinking, man, I took this team to the NFC Championship and a Super Bowl in 3 years. So, like, you brought this guy in. But at the same token, when a person gets drafted that high and they trade, dang near their future, for this person, you got to know the writing's on the wall. So you just got to make the best decision for your future. And right now, he feels like this is the best decision for his future. You know, and I mean, you just got to know this is part of business. When you get a guy drafted that high at your position, you just got to know what's coming in the next few years.
I've got Gerald McCoy, 3-time All-Pro, 6-time Pro Bowler here on the Rich Eisen Show. So which team is the best in the NFL in your estimation entering 2022?
Right now?
Yes, sir. What do you got?
You know what? When I've been doing this media run, mm-hmm. and I've been NFL Network for a week where we had to really do some studying and know what we were talking about and, you know, give an honest opinion about different things and,
yes.
and study and all that. And
yes, that is required of the analyst.
Is required of an analyst. I'm not an analyst right now. I'm a free agent, so I'm just going to give my honest opinion.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to give my honest opinion. I'm going to give my biased opinion. I'm going with the Bucs. Like, I'm a Buck, man. Like, That's who drafted me. I grew up a fan of the Bucs, so it's not far-fetched to say they're the best team in the league right now.
That is
so I'm just going to be biased and say the Bucs. I'm just going to be honest about it.
That is correct. I mean, it's entirely possible. Yeah. And Brady is as good as ever, it appears. Everyone's saying he looks the same. So, well, that works. That's a good one right there. Right. So you say you're a free agent. What do you want to happen in 2022 for you, Gerald?
This, for sure, I can almost guarantee this will probably be my last run at it. You know, you have injuries this late in your career. I always envision the end of my career, me going out on my own terms. Unfortunately, I've had some knee injuries. But I'm literally talking to you at the gym right now. I'm staying ready. You know, things always happen. I mean, Adrian Peterson got picked up last year. Eric Waddle got picked up right before the playoffs and went and got a ring. You never know what can happen. But you got to be ready when they call. So I'm going to stay ready. You know, my agent is reaching out to GMs, let them know, hey, if you need a vet, even if you need a practice, for me, I don't have that much pride to where I have to come in and get so many snaps or make this much money and stuff. I just want to come help a team. And for me, that could be helping young guys. That could be the guys who are going to get all the reps. I can show them, hey, listen, this is how you should prepare for this. You might go out here and see this, but let me show you how I see it from an all-pros viewpoint. And I can help a team that way. Last year when I was with the Raiders, I didn't get a lot of first-team reps when we was in camp. I gave most of the second and third-team reps, but I ran the scout team. I did all the scout team reps to give those guys a look, to teach the young guys this is how you're supposed to practice. You know, like, that's where I'm at mentally in my career. And even that would be okay with me. You know, I've never been – want to have so much pride where I'm like, oh, I've been an all-pro. I've been this many Pro Bowls, and I can only do this. No, you got to know when your time has passed and where you're at in your career. And right now, that's where I'm at. Coming off knee injuries and where I've been at over the past 2 years of literally playing 7 snaps in 2 years, you just got to know where you're at. So you take what they give you. And if it doesn't happen, I'm fine riding off into the sunset. I had a great career. But that's where I'm at. I'm still wanting to play. give it one last run, and I'll be ready when they call. That's where I'm at.
And so
that's how I feel.
And so it's just part of the reason why you just want to write the script yourself. That's basically
Absolutely. That's really what it is, man. Just go out on my own terms. But if it don't happen that way, it wouldn't be the first person to happen to. You know, that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm. How good can the Raiders be this year, do you think, Joe?
Man, the Raiders can be extremely good, man. I feel like they are going to have one of the top offenses in the league just by weapons on paper alone. You know, and then you take a All-Pro in Chandler Jones, a guy who's emerging, start taking over the league in Max Crosby. And you put that combination together up front on defense, just them two alone, you need those two in that division. I feel like with McDaniels having his first run with the Broncos, I feel like he learned a lot from that first go-around. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Patriots, now he's doing this. He had even the backups and stuff playing well in the preseason. So when the Patriots came down there, all the reports coming out is that they dominated the Patriots. You know, anybody they went against in the joint practice, they dominated. So I feel like that group, with all they went through last year, I was in that locker room, so I know the leaders in that locker room and what they're capable of. With everything they went through last year, still making the playoffs, I believe with the new added weapons and the new culture they're building, they can really make a run at this thing, man, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, all that stuff you're referring to in the locker room is what I think led to Derek Carr's statement just a couple weeks ago in light of Dana White's revelation that a Brady Gronk package was ready to be delivered by him to the Raiders, and Gruden said no, and now Derek Carr's like, you know, hopefully all the drama ends. I think he was referring to last year, not just obviously what he was hearing right there, and you know, maybe he and Davante Adams, his old college teammate with Waller and Renfro, can be that complement to those two bookends on defense you just mentioned in Crosby and Chandler Jones. I'm very high on the Raiders, very high on them.
Yeah, Joe. Me too, man. And any team who give me an opportunity, I'm high on. So I'm rooting for the Bucks for sure. Number mm-hmm. one, rooting for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Pulling for the Cowboys, pulling for Carolina, and definitely pulling for the Raiders because they signed me last year. So I'm rooting for all of those teams, you know?
Okay, and I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Before I let you go, you want to...
If I don't play again, mm-hmm. I will see you on the other side.
Well, that other side is available to you here on the program. Honestly, like if you...
We'll see you on the other
honestly,
side.
And again, I don't know if you feel that being part of the paparazzi and being opinionated and giving opinions might constrain your ability to get a phone call to play football. I get that. I understand that. But I think you can be really good at this, Gerald. You already are.
Right, I'm going to listen. Here's how I see it. I see it as if they're going to call you, they're going to call you. If they're not, they're not. That's just how I see it. But I'm going to voice my opinion. I'm going to say what I have to say because I'm never disrespectful about what I have to say. I just say what I see. And I mean, it is what it is. I'm not the first player who to be a free agent, to be in the media reporting or be an analyst and then get a call from a team. It happens. Richard Sherman did last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it happens. So,
okay, so.
You just voice your opinion and be open and honest. I mean, a person can't knock honesty. People are very. It's very easy to read somebody who's fake, and if you're genuine and you're honest about your opinion, and they can see like you're genuine what you're saying, people shouldn't have a problem with it. You know, people can. This you can really read a person who's fake and kind of just like spewing a bunch of BS.
In the meantime, you know, if you want, I'll look for my phone call during the playing season while you're working out, maybe getting ready for a phone call, and you can keep your, you know, work on your chops of the paparazzi. And in the meantime, I'm more than happy to do if you're up for that.
I'm going to be doing all types of analysts, podcasts, and I'm starting my own podcast, all of this.
Okay.
And I'm not just sitting in the gym waiting for a phone call. I'm sticking and moving. That's what I do, man. I keep it going.
All right. And in the meantime, out here in Los Angeles, where, you know, I'm doing this show, Big Ten Country, out here in Los Angeles, if I run into Lincoln Riley in the supermarket, what do you want me to say to him? What would you like me to say to him, Joe?
God bless you, Lincoln.
Is that really what you want me to say? That's really what you want me to say to him?
Hey, listen, that is exactly what I want you to say. God bless you. And that's it. Leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
Okay. What do you think of your alma mater's chances this year? Walk me through it. What do you got? Anything?
It's a rebuild year. Well, you know, it's BV's first year as a head coach. We don't really know what we have. We know a few names, but we really don't know what we have this year. So I'm really excited to see how the offense performs. I know BV is going to have their defense transform, but I think people need to, like, kind of tone down the expectations right now. Like, this is – give them a second. Like, this is the first time as a head coach. We don't have all the guys we used to have. So kind of temper your expectations this year and just enjoy the ride.
All right.
He brought in all the right coaches, brought in all the right culture, brought Smitty back, and I'm excited to see what can happen. But I don't want people, you know, like losing their minds if things don't go how, oh, we got BV, but we're losing. It don't matter. Like, give him a chance. Like, come on, bring the expectations down, but I'm going to root for my school regardless.
All right, bless you, Gerald. Is that how I'm supposed to say it to Lincoln? Is that like that?
God, just like that. God bless you, Lincoln. That's from Gerald.
Oh. All right. You keep being you, Gerald McCoy. Look for my calls. You keep working out, okay? You be well.
Yes, sir. Love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. That's Gerald McCoy.
All right.
That's Gerald McCoy right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There he goes. Bless you, Lincoln. I wrote it down. I don't think he really wants me to say that.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, kind of.
You
got to
read in between the bless and the you.
Yeah.
And Lincoln might be like, I didn't sneeze. What are you talking about? That's from Gerald McCoy. Bless you, Lincoln.
Man, I really hope we run into Lincoln Riley somewhere.
Yeah, we've invited him here. It's just his practice schedule does not allow him to appear here in person. We'll get him.
He's not that far.
Bye week.
He's the coach. He can adjust practices, though.
He's in charge.
Yeah, to appear on the Rich Eisen Show?
I mean, he's
makes
top
sense.
Of the food chain.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean?
All right, phone lines are lit. My gosh.
Let's take them.
And I can't wait for this next phone call we're going to take because it leads us into our next segment, talking college football and showing our colors for our teams.
Love it.
Plural for some. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take some phone calls. Evan in San Francisco, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is up, Evan?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me on. Hey, guys.
How are you?
What up, brother?
Hey. What up, G?
Pretty good. First time, long time. Shabbat shalom, Rich. I just wanted to bring a different perspective here for TJ's fandom. TJ, please do not take this as personally whatsoever.
Right off the bat, I don't see how I couldn't.
What a wind-up.
No, okay. What a wind-up. I live in San Francisco, right? But I am a diehard Baltimore Ravens fan. Just for context, I grew up being raised by two gay dads, and my mom's lesbian, and I like to joke they didn't know the difference between a football and a baseball growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to choose my own teams, and because they had no affinity for any team themselves, and I fell in love with the Ravens, that 2001 Super Bowl team with Ray Lewis and that defense. And I get a lot of flack for, you know, liking teams in different places. My cousins all lived in Michigan, so they would take me to Red Wings games and Tigers games.
Mm-hmm.
Pistons games, go Blue Rich, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying, like, as far as your sports team, you have to live and die with them. You know, the way you have your passion, TJ, about the Cowboys, that's what it should be for every sport, for every one single team. You know, it's just, it's hard when you see, like, oh, that, you know, the Sixers didn't do well. Well, okay, the Clippers, right? Okay, like this year, Kawhi's back. Or,
boy,
you know, what, Florida State may lose the first week's game. Well, look at Pitt. They had that big win over West Virginia.
Mm.
You know, there's no second chances in sports, sometimes in life. But, you know, you just got to live and die with your team. And it's the best reality TV there is. And that's my kind of spiel.
Evan with the Shabbat. He started with a Shabbat Shalom, and he dropped a spiel. I mean, that's bookending it. TJ, I'm assuming that did not sway whatsoever.
Oh, definitely
anything
not.
About your world.
Why would it?
TJ, like that passion you have for the Cowboys, we love it. You know, you bring that perspective.
Yes,
but you're not.
But
gonna,
he's,
you're not
he,
gonna go like
he's got. Hold on a second. I gotta jump in here. He's got the same thing for baseball. He's just a Met fan. Period. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that college sports. Yeah.
College sports.
And also hockey. You're a Penguin, even though
fan.
I never hear you talking about him.
Well, we're a big hockey show here, Rich.
In basketball, in the NBA, though, you're a Sixer, Clipper.
Mm-hmm.
And then in college, it's just really all, literally, not figuratively, all over the map.
Yeah, because, it's really only college.
Because how many college D1, I mean, again.
Where did you go to school?
I didn't go to a D1 school.
Where did you go?
I went to Point Park in Pittsburgh. We're NAIA. But we're not
D1. You can claim Pitt. You can claim Pitt if you want. That's great.
And
you
I
know,
did.
That's like your hometown team.
And yeah, I know.
Florida and
State.
To Oregon.
And then Penn State.
Penn State's actually closer to me growing up than Penn. Okay, I'm going to say this one last time. Grew up my whole life as a Penn State fan. Never got to go to any Penn State games. Single mom. She wasn't taking me to Penn State games. But I always was a Penn State fan.
Mm-hmm.
I had a neighbor up two blocks away, one of my good friends. Yeah. His older brothers both graduated, went off to start their lives. So their dad had an extra season ticket to Pitt games. Yeah, they knew I didn't like Pitt. They're like, come to Pitt games with us. Maybe we could change
the
mind.
So that's how you like Pitt.
So I start going to Pitt. And
where did Florida State come in? Dion.
Okay,
Dion to Florida State came in?
I saw Dion on the cover of Sports Illustrated once, and I was like, who is this guy? Right. I love him.
And Georgetown doesn't have a football team, and neither does – well, Duke does, but that didn't break you through on that. Okay.
Georgetown was growing
Georgetown
up Patrick
was,
Ewing.
You were the Hoyer Destroyer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Duke had you at Allah?
No.
Or
I had
Abdel-Nabi,
Grant Hill.
Huh?
Grant Hill. I knew – I was reading Athlon. Remember those magazines?
Definitely
Chris
wasn't
Sporting Street.
Oh, wasn't Leitner. It was Grant.
No, it was Grant Hill. Because I knew Grant Hill's dad, Calvin Hill, played for the Cowboys. So I was like, oh, what?
Right. There you go, Evan. And thanks for the call. It actually leads us into perfectly.
But good looking out, Evan. Good looking out.
It leads us in perfectly to this being College Colors Day.
And
it's the 18th annual College Colors Day. And folks across the country have been asked to show their school colors in honor of it. And Jay Felly, you're first up. You've got USC right there. That's your team, right?
Yeah.
Your team right there.
Liz got me a medium that I...
Okay, so you stand up a little straighter. Now you can flip your hat around now if you'd like. Is that a Trojan hat right there? Okay, fight on, sir.
Yeah.
Fight on. Look at you addressing the camera. Very good. I, of course...
Where'd you go to again, Rich?
I forget. Did you go to college?
I got a Michigan glass. Right. Kids are going to dig that.
Your kids don't care.
Are you kidding me? They're gonna fight over this.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
I got, two different Michigan coffee mugs. This is great. I got a shirt. I got a sweatshirt. Look at this. Go blue. Go blue. TJ.
Yes.
You've got, what do you have?
I've got two over here. I'm representing.
Oh, you've got multiple ones, huh?
I got we got a little We Are Penn State. Got that going.
Nice.
I was watching them last night. And
nice
then, you know, we got the go pee, go I.
So it was a big night for you last night. Both your teams, you went 2-0 last night.
I had them both. You ask me why I don't go to games. I got two TVs set up in the living room. I was watching Penn State. I was watching Pitt.
Look at you.
I was chilling. Life was good.
Well, one was in Lafayette, Indiana, and the other one was in Pittsburgh, in the Acrisure, in New Acrisure. So, okay, so you got that.
We
right.
got, you know, a little tumbler, a little mug.
Oh,
here,
yeah. You
know?
No pit tumbler, huh?
I did not get a pit
tumbler. Oh, interesting. And Chris, you've got Syracuse, right? You got Syracuse. There
the
you go.
We got,
look at you in the house, Syracuse.
Home for Louisville, home opener at the Dome.
Right.
Love it.
Okay. So you got Syracuse. Well, wait a minute. I see another shirt over there. It's not orange.
Yeah,
what
he's
do you got?
Let's get on him.
Oh, he's got a Georgia shirt on.
It just so happens to be really good, and now he's a fan.
Wait a minute. He's now got multiple teams he claims, huh?
This is for Sarah. Sure. This is for Sarah.
Oh, really?
Is it?
Yeah.
You got her in XL?
I don't know. I was getting all sorts of grief on New Year's Eve about Michigan losing to Georgia like it was your team.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot of Georgia talk.
Syracuse.
I'm representing.
What does that mean, you're representing? You have multiple teams.
I don't have multiple teams.
Oh, wait a second.
This is what I've been saying.
My partner has a team, and I want them to do well. So I also root for them. Rich, if Columbia had a football team, guess what? You'd be a two-team house.
We'd be a two-team house because one person would root for that team, and I would root for mine.
But he wouldn't root for Columbia, is what you're saying.
You wouldn't want them to win every game?
Syracuse versus Georgia, who are you rooting for?
They'll never play each other.
Syracuse versus Georgia.
I'm not going to answer that because it's a hypothetical that will never exist.
How do we know?
Never say never.
How do we know?
It will never exist.
Well, if they meet in a national championship.
Syracuse versus Georgia.
We're never going to make it.
Syracuse versus Georgia. What happens?
I'm rooting for Syracuse.
Okay.
They have all of my money.
Yeah, what about basketball?
Well, that's a no-brainer. Well, he's not rooting for Georgia basketball.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on. Because they're not nearly as good as they are in football.
When
so he would claim
the
them.
House.
Would you claim them? Would you claim them as yours if they were mediocre?
Claim who?
Georgia.
I don't claim them at all.
Oh.
Last year he did say we. You definitely said we at some point.
The case. You claim them. You've been claiming them. Yes, you have. Which is fine. It's fine. Just admit it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine to root for more than one team. Why should you limit yourself?
I'm rooting for them. I want them to win because I want a happy house.
Now, that's true. Happy wife, happy life. But again, Rich, I get it. And there are so many people who are like so into college football, right?
Yes.
But like, I love college football, but I'm not living and dying anymore the way I did when I was younger. So that's why I'm able to just enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's not like any of my teams have won championships lately. Well, Florida State, like 10 years ago.
Well, use the hashtag of College Colors Day on social media. Hashtag Colors Day on social media to rep your college colors and share in the excitement.
These are dope.
This year's theme is It's About That Time, which is close to Lizzo as possible. And so some of us will be sending out one tweet. Me and Jay Felly. TJ and Chris can send out multiple tweets. Yeah. Using what the hashtag of College Colors Day. There we go. Or you guys can use the hashtag of College's Colors Day.
Colleges.
I've got College Colors Day.
Plus, if you're in Atlanta this weekend and you see me walking around, come say what's up.
And ask him, he'll buy you something to drink.
I will absolutely buy you something to drink.
I thought you were going to say, if you see me walk around, mind your business.
I don't know. Do Georgia fans drink going to games? I don't know.
What do you guys do?
I know they just, some of them come dressed like they're going to a country club. They just finished 18 holes of golf.
Tucked in.
And they're tucked in. They've got those golf shirts with the stripes, the rope belt and the khakis, right?
Yep. And how do you go to games
and
dressed
like this?
Up?
They walk around like this, like,
Are you going to have rallies while you're down there, Brockman?
They look like Raffy Devers with the big chaw on his mouth.
You going to have rallies in Waffle House when you're down there?
Mm-hmm.
I will for sure be eating Waffle House this weekend. Cannot wait. Although Oregon travels, there's going to be a lot of Ducks fans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's a very good game.
It's going to be a very good game.
Right, last time, Oregon traveled to the horseshoe and took out a chunk.
That's right.
chunk of what?
That's right. A chunk of Buckeyes. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
This is going to be a great weekend.
Great weekend. Cannot wait.
Hopefully, I'll just be in a rocking chair right around 3 Eastern, noon Pacific
on
Saturday.
You're like 3 touchdowns better than the first half?
That.
Like first half, though.
Anybody,
like first half.
I'll just say this. As you know, I'm not an expert on this. Anybody who bets Michigan football in the first week of the season is an idiot who deserves to lose whatever you put on the line. Historically.
Come on, Rich.
Hashtag College Colors Day. Kevin Hart and you, Hour 3.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.